For the first time since the Second World War, Australia will have a publicly owned fuel stockpile. Yesterday, the Prime Minister Anthony Albanese confirmed next week's budget will include more than $10 billion Australian Fuel Security and Resilience Package, which will establish a government-owned fuel security reserve of 1 billion litres of emergency diesel and aviation fuel. It comes amid a global fuel crisis sparked by the war in Iran and, of course, the effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz, which stops around 20% of the world's oil trade. Tony Wood is a senior fellow of the Energy Program at the Grattan Institute and joins me. Tony, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning, Sally.
This fuel resilience package, is it a good idea?
Look, I think the idea of increasing the amount of fuel we've got in storage is prudent. Both sides of politics over the last 20 years have changed their mind on that a couple of times, but I think the idea, like, there's unanimity now that we do need to increase that. The issue is how much we do, and interestingly, this new concept that we're going to have a government-owned fuel facility of a billion litres, which is only a few days worth of storage, but it's certainly worth considering. And the big questions are going to be, how would it actually be used? Would the government have to have a completely new organisation that would physically run that storage? Because it can't be just left idle. It's going to have to be actively managed.
And will that fuel have to be moved through that system into the broader market?
Well, that's the key thing, right? Because, I mean, you've got a market now where private businesses sell and buy and sell fuel. And if you've got a government agency working in, alongside that, then how's that going to work? Is it going to spook the market? Do you have an independent operator who operates that storage when it's needed under very clear rules so everyone knows how it's going to work? They're the details. I mean, whether or not that's the best way to do it or just making sure that the private sector has the fuel we need under the what's called the minimum stockholding obligation, maybe a better idea. But we've not yet seen the detail of how this billion litres would actually be secured, how it would be operated. Remembering that any fuel of the sort we're talking about does need to be turned over from time to time. It can't just be left in a tank forever.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. What's the effective shelf life for diesel or for aviation fuel?
Well, it's not a couple of days, but it's not a couple of years either. It's probably somewhere in between. And depending on what the conditions, what the temperatures are, petroleum products like that do deteriorate, but it's certainly, you know, months and not days.
Is this investment the right move for Australia, given the vulnerabilities that the war in the Middle East have put the spotlight on?
Look, there's two things about that. One is, I think in the short to medium term, it probably is a good idea because the things which should be part of our longer term strategy won't happen overnight. And what I mean by that, Sally, is that we really should be thinking about how we break our connection to the import of fossil fuels. By that, I mean electrify. That we've already begun that route with small commercial and personal vehicles. That's going quite strongly. Of course, it's picked up a lot in the last couple of months. And we've seen the beginnings of electric trucks around the country, not just for local short-haul trucks, buses and so forth, but even for longer haul. Now, there may still be a very long distance issue for Australia because we do need a lot of long distance road freight. But I think a strategy which says, look, we are going to continue to electrify our transport fleet. We're going to really push harder on that. Maybe we need a policy similar to, for the trucks, similar to what we have for cars. At the same time, we may even need biodiesel, which is something the government has talked about previously for longer distance trucks. While it all happens, we probably do need to have a modest increase in how much we store, but that, whether it's 50 days or 60 days, needs to be calibrated against how much we'll need in the future. Because maybe if we do electrify, we'll actually need a lot less fuel. For example, electrification of cars already has reduced our need for fuel by about 3 days. So you can see the potential there. And that's the better way to go long term because A, better for geosecurity, and B, better for the environment.
Are there countries that are doing all of this better than Australia right now, Tony?
It's a real mixture. Australia's in a very unusual position for two reasons, Sally. One is that we are a long way from many other parts of the world and we've got long supply chains in Australia. We have a very big country with, you know, globally a relatively small population. That means we've got to move this stuff over long distances and those supply chains are open to, are very sensitive to what we've seen, and we've seen how that worked. Secondly, we are a country because of the same reasons. We are unusually dependent upon diesel for road freight and for our big mining industry. And we use twice as much diesel as we do petrol, and we do a lot more diesel than Americans do, for example, because of that reason. And so that's why the strategic reserve issue is going to be covering diesel in a very heavy sense. But we do have an unusual combination of circumstances, which means our strategy has to be clear for Australia. Remembering the other side of it is we do have a very significant resource nationally in our renewable energy, and turning that into electrification is going to be, in my view, the long-term answer.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest is Senior Fellow at the Energy Program at the Grattan Institute, Tony Wood. Tony, the Queensland Government has announced it will unlock state-owned land for oil storage and refineries. What do you make of that announcement?
Well, I think it's if someone wants to then take advantage of that and go and look for oil or build a refinery in the private sector, I have no problem with that at all. Let them do it. I just don't think the government should be undertaking major investment from the government's perspective to support it for two reasons. One is I think the prospects of discovering more oil in Queensland are non-zero, but they're pretty small. We've known about that resource for many, many decades. It's never been considered to be commercially viable. It would be expensive and take a long time to develop if it ever does, but, you know, that's what they wanted to go for their life. Of course, it makes no difference to build new refineries if there's no crude oil to put into them. In Australia at the moment, we export most of our crude oil from the North West Shelf, and we've got about 7 years' worth left. So building refineries without new oil makes no sense at all, because we'd still be importing the crude oil to go into those refineries. So I think it's something worth thinking about, but I wouldn't be thinking about it for very long.
What is the biggest lesson from the current fuel pressures emanating from the war in the Middle East?
Well, I think criticise governments too bad on this, because when you haven't had your house burned down for 10 years, you wonder why you pay so much insurance, right? But you do what it does. So this is a bit like that. How much insurance do we need? And I think there would be a general consensus that we haven't had enough. And so even though we haven't run out of fuel, we've still got significant numbers of days of both petrol, diesel and aviation fuel onshore, but we're very nervous about that, and it's been made people very sensitive to it. So that means that one lesson we've learned is Australia is at the end of a very long supply chain. We thought we could be more secure by getting fuel from places like Singapore and Malaysia, but if they're getting their crude oil from the Middle East, then of course we're still dependent upon that very long supply chain. So that means we have to have a strategy which addresses that in a way that's right for us. And I think in the short term, more storage does make sense, but getting away from dependent on that long supply chain is the answer. And that just reinforces why the move to no lower emissions through electrification has an extra benefit, and that is in a world that's inevitably going to be less secure than it's been, we see what this is going to look like. We have to be ready for those sort of things, and that's the sort of planning we should have.
Tony, thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thanks, Sally.